Now, before we get started with what we want to talk about this morning, I just want to tell you that if you are here and you've gone through something difficult in your life, I want you to know that there are people next to you, and Sister Ida has just shared one story, that have gone through stuff. And we're not here pretending. We're not here trying to put on a face. We're here as people who have gone through something. And if it wasn't because of God's mercy and grace, we would not have survived.
Yes.
And so we're here because the mercy of God reached out to us in the middle of our trial. And we were able to say, along with Sister Ida, shout to the Lord, all the earth, nothing compares to what we have in God. Amen? So if you're looking for a place to heal and you're looking for a place to be accepted as you are, I don't know what your story is. You may not know mine. We know a little bit about Sister Ida's. But this is a great place to come and allow God to heal and restore all of us. Amen? With that in mind, let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us in this next few minutes. Father, thank you for your presence in this place already. We love you. We are humbled by the fact that you show up and you minister to our hearts and you draw us closer to you. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We declare today that our hearts are open to receive what you want to say to us today. Our minds are alert, God. Our ears attentive. May our soul be receptive. Be like a sponge ready to receive a word from you, God. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Lord. That people that need to be set free would be set free emotionally, physically, mentally, God, spiritually today. I thank you, God, for the chains that you're going to break. Thank you for people that need to be healed in their bodies. We pray even now that as we speak and as we worship together, God, that you would touch people's bodies, their sickness and disease, that you would touch them because you, we believe you are healing, Jesus. And Father, may your word draw us closer to you. I ask you that you would stand in this, my body, that you would think with my mind, speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. We have several options in terms of looking at scriptures together. We have Bibles in the back. If you would like to just kind of hold the Bible and kind of get a little bit acquainted with where things are in the scriptures, we have ushers back there ready to give you a Bible. If you're interested in the scriptures this morning, just raise your hand and one will be given to you this morning. Okay? So just raise your hands and ushers, go ahead and come around and they'll help us. They'll help us just get those distributed. Some of you use your Bibles on your phone, and that's okay too. Amen. As long as you're not texting or Facebooking during the message, you can use your Bible on the phone if you would like. We're not going to be terribly long. Again, if you're interested in a scripture, just raise your hand. One will be given to you. Normally, we have some fill-in notes during the sermon. Today, each one should have received, and hopefully you have a announcement sheet in front of you. And if you don't have that, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. And the back of that, you are able to write notes today. It's a blank sheet of paper, and here's what I want you to write. I want you to write, and there's some folks here, right here below. Yep, thank you very much. Whatever God puts in your heart, or something that you know, man, that's for me, or that, I resonate with that, or a story, or something that you hear today, I want you to write that down so that you can take it with you and pray about that throughout the week. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In the early service, and just so you know, we had an early service. It was a blessing, and there was folks here, and the Lord moved. But I accidentally said Ephesians 5, and somebody told me that it took them like halfway through to realize they were on the wrong chapter. So it's Ephesians chapter 1. Whenever you find Ephesians 1, if you could tell me the page number so that everybody can be on the same page, that would be awesome. 946, page 946 in your Bible is Ephesians chapter 1, and that's what we're going to start this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. The title of today's message is, do you have the mark of a believer? Do you have the mark of a believer? And again, we're going to talk and develop that a little bit as we go on. In the year 2005, I was 27 years old, and it was for the first time in my life, I committed my life to a young lady. Her name was Joanne. Most people here know her as Pastor Joanne. If you know a little bit of our story, she and I pastored the church together from the year 2005. We got married. And when we got married, one of the things that happens in a wedding ceremony is that you exchange vows, but you also exchange one of these guys. You know what this is? Yeah. Right?
Wedding rings.
Yeah, wedding rings, wedding bands. The husband puts one on the wife and the wife on the husband, and it signifies that from that day on, there's a special relationship. It's almost like a physical mark that something is different now. Now, my love for her at the time did not change. On the inside, what I felt for her did not change. But now there was like a mark, a seal, something that could be seen that kind of talked about that there was a special relationship with someone. Now, again, some of you may or may not know that a few years after that, about 8 years after we got married, unfortunately, went through the process of she went to be with the Lord. Through a series of things that happened, she went to be with God. And one of the things that happened with me is that she went to be with the Lord. And so by definition, I became a single man again. But it was really hard for me to let go of this mark. It was really difficult for me. I still remember my brother was taking me out to the movies just to take me out, because, as you know, it was a difficult season. Did I mention that we have people in the church who've gone through something? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Again, you've gone through something that I haven't. I've gone through something that maybe you haven't. But we're all on the journey together. We're all going through something. I remember a few months after my late wife had passed, I was sitting with my brother, and he was taking me to Dogtown. Anybody ever go to Dogtown to eat? Yeah, there you go. Only one person. Okay. That's probably good. God bless you guys. I know, right? There you go. There you go. No, I love Dogtown, too. But he introduced me to the Dogtown garbage plates. Don't ask me what is in there. Just take it. It was yummy, okay? And he took a picture, and we took a selfie. He said, hey, I'm hanging out with my brother. He posted it. And I, without even thinking about it, one of the kids that I used to be his youth pastor wrote in one of the comments on Facebook, he said, man, when I saw the ring still on his finger, it made me want to cry because it reminded him of Joanne. And it was almost like I didn't even realize, oh my gosh, I still have the ring. I'm still wearing it. Because that mark had been so close to me, it had so identified who I was, that it was really hard for me to let it go. Are you with me? Amen? There's nothing wrong with that, but it was a mark that kind of grasped at my soul. And one of the things that had to happen during my single days, during my widower days, was that I had to really have a conversation with God, because my mark, my identity, had been so wrapped up in being a husband to this woman for so long that now I felt, even though not completely, but I felt a little bit like my identity was different. I was no longer marked by this, which meant I didn't have that special relationship, and I was very proud of that, and so now I had to figure out, who am I? Now, in your world and mine, people have all kinds of different marks. Now, again, nothing wrong with the marriage mark. You see, well, Pastor, you're wearing this. For those of you who don't know, a season, a few years after that, I met a wonderful, godly woman. Her name is Amy. She is right now taking care of all of our babies. If you've had a baby, she's taking care of them in the nursery and doing a great job with that. And we just got married. Tomorrow will be my one-year anniversary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I am married again, but I've learned that my identity cannot only be in my special relationship. My identity cannot be in being a married man. My identity has to come from somewhere else. And today, when we talk about the mark of a believer, we're really trying to get down to, who am I? What is our identifier as followers of Jesus? And if you're not a follower of Jesus today, that's okay. You get to kind of listen in a little bit on what these Christians, these followers of Christ, do, and maybe see where God takes you in that journey. Amen? What is it that marks your life right now? You don't have to tell me, but some people, their primary identifier is, you know, when I went to school in the South in Oklahoma, and when I would go into a fast food place, often I was the only minority there. As I would walk through the doors, and everyone in the store would be like, oh, and they would continue on their meal, and I was like, hey, I thought it was great. Hey, you know, people will know who I am. At least I go, he's the brown one. Right? But there's been times in my life where my primary identifier has been the color of my skin. Well, I don't do that because I'm Puerto Rican. Well, we do this. And it's been the primary marker. There's nothing wrong with that. But should that be the main thing that identifies who I am as a person? For some, it might be, well, I am white. That's my primary identifier. I am black. And we live our entire lives with fighting for that primary identifier. Some people choose their sexual orientation as their primary identifier. Well, I am gay, or I am straight, or I am this, or I am that, as their primary identifier. And just like God had to deal with me, that even though the relationship of marriage is holy, and he wants me to be identified as a married man, that cannot be the primary identifier of my life. My skin color can't be. My sexual orientation can't be. What is it that is truly the mark of who I am? And that's what we're talking about. The scriptures talks about, in the book of Ephesians, several markers in our life, but one primary mark that will make all the difference in your life and mine. And it's a mark that we cannot escape from. Usually, people in Christian circles, when people talk about marks, oftentimes people think about the mark of the beast. They think about the end times, the number 666, and anyone who has that mark belongs to the enemy, and so they are cursed for eternity, and the scriptures talks about that. But I want you to know that if the enemy has a mark for those who follow him, I want you to know that God has a mark for those who follow him. And the mark of God supersedes, is more powerful than the mark of the enemy. Sister Ida was just sharing that she was marked by this experience that she had. I want to tell you that I was marked by losing my late wife, and you were marked by something that's happened to you. But there is something that is so powerful, so amazing, so healing when we get close to God and he gives us his mark, his brand, and it starts to heal us from the inside. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. Did I mention it was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11? And here's where we're going to start today. Verse 11. It says this. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Is it okay if we do a Bible study today? I know we could study sports. I know we could study what my friends think. I know we could study math and English and geography in school. I think it's worth taking our time at least once a week to look and study the Word of God. Amen? So we're looking at the Bible today. So stay with me for the next few moments. As we look at the scriptures, this is God's word. The Apostle Paul wrote, and we're going to be going on a journey to finding out what the mark of a believer is. In him we were also chosen. Say, I'm chosen. Having been predestined. That means my destiny has been predetermined according to the plan of him. Who's him? It's God. Who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. He works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. But pastor, not everything that's happened to me has been good. The Bible says that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. But pastor, you don't know. I've suffered pains. People have abused me. I've been hurt. God works out everything in your life and everything in my life. He doesn't make everything happen in your life. Please hear me. God is not the author of the evil that's happened to you or the pain that's happened to us, but he uses it to work it out for his purposes. He takes the negative things that could have happened to you and to me, and he turns them around and works them for his purposes. There's a famous man named Joseph in the Bible who was a good man. Everything he did was right. He had the favor of God. His brothers hated him for it. Anybody got any sibling issues here? Amen. His brothers hated him for it. They hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. They sold him into slavery. He was a slave. In slavery, he became, God's favor was on him, and so he actually did very well. And the person that was his master at the time elevated him to a very high position in his house. And while he's doing that, a woman came and lied about him, saying that he had tried to force himself upon her, when in fact it was the woman who was trying to get with him. And she lied about it, and her husband took, of course, her word for it, and he threw him in the dungeon in prison. He had done nothing wrong. He was a great, he was a man of integrity. If you're here saying, Pastor, I've done the right thing. Pastor, I've tried my best. I'm trying to be an honorable husband or wife. I'm trying to do my best with my kids. And things are just not working out. Negative things keep happening to you. You're in good company with Joseph in the Bible. Amen? Eventually, he gets thrown into prison and he's forgotten in prison. But out of that misery, eventually, the Pharaoh takes him out of prison and makes him second in command to the entire Egyptian kingdom. And when somebody asked him, you know, what about what's happened to you, man? You've gone through a lot of stuff. What about what's happened to you? He said, and his brothers, he confronted his brothers, the ones who had put him in slavery originally. I don't know about you, but if my brothers had put me in slavery, and now I was really powerful, and now I could take care of them, are you with me? I don't know about you, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I look at my brother sideways when he even comes close to beating me in one-on-one basketball, you know? This is another level. This is, they sold him into slavery, and they were at his mercy. And here's what he says. I want you to hear this. Here's what he says. He says, guys, you meant this for evil, but God turned it around for good, so that salvation could come to my people. God used him so that people could be saved. And so I don't understand why people in your life and mine have passed away. I don't understand why painful things happen. But I know that we serve a God who can take something that is broken and dark, and he can turn it around and use it for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
In him, in him, in Christ, you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. Say this out loud. Say, God has a plan for me. Say.
God has a plan.
Say one more time. God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
Like you believe it. You know, sometimes I don't know what's going on, but if I make declarations and I just sound like I believe it, I start believing it. Amen? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I tell myself that. In moments of fear, I'm afraid. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Some of you, some of us, we need to start making declarations over our life. Here's a declaration. In Christ, I was chosen. I was predestined according to the plan of God, who works out everything, even if I don't understand it, in conformity with the purpose of his will. Remember that you were chosen and predestined in Christ. And again, if you're here, you're not a follower of Christ, the caveat here is those who are in Christ, as you look from outside, you can see, what is this whole deal about being in Christ, in Jesus, in the Messiah? We're going to talk about that. In order that we, who were the first, this is verse 12 now, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. In order. So God works out everything according to the purpose of his will, his plans, in order that we. God works stuff out, and as he works things out, it affects people. It affects you, and it affects me. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. That somehow we as people can bring honor to God as he's working stuff out in our lives. One of the things that I don't love about that verse, it says, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ. Well, I am not one of the first to hope in Christ, so I don't know where that leaves me. But here's what I do know. There's a conversation about hope in Christ. And we're going to talk about more about that in a second. But here's the good news. The scripture says, and you also were included in Christ. So in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, that's priority, that's the first ones that came around, well, I'm not Jewish, or I'm not my daddy, or I'm not my brother, who they put their faith in Christ, that's why everything goes well with them, but my life is messed up because I was left behind. There's good news for those of us who've been left behind, amen? Here's the good news, and you also were included. Pastor, how am I included? In Christ. Everyone say, in Christ. In Christ, you are included. Thank you very much, brother. Somebody else asked me, Pastor, do you want a fan straight up on you? I said, brother, if you can't see my face because of sweat, then you can bring up a fan. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother Ben. I appreciate that. You also were included in Christ. You are not an orphan. You have not been left. We were chosen and predestined, and you also were included in Christ. How? How? How are we included in Christ? How are people in this world included in Christ? Here's how. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, and I'm going to go on in a second, but I want to stay here for a little bit. You also were included in Christ. Say this out loud. I am included in Christ.
I am included.
I am included. I am included. I have been chosen. I am included. I told the first service that when I was in high school, I tried out for varsity basketball, and that day I could not hit a shot. Some of my friends may say, brother, you can't ever hit a shot. But I like to believe that on that day I just couldn't hit a shot. And so the coach saw me, and they said, no, you're not good enough. I was not chosen for the varsity team. How many know that's not a good feeling? Right? Man, I wanted to make the varsity team. Later on, I was playing JV, and I played well enough that the coach said, oh, he actually can hit shots, and so they brought me back up. But on that day, I was not feeling it. I was not chosen. Brothers and sisters, you have been chosen by God. You have not. He's not passed over you. Listen, because of what Jesus did on the cross, now everyone can be chosen by God. The key is believing in him, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But let me just share this. You were included in Christ, how? When you heard the message of truth. The message of truth. The message of truth. There is such a thing as truth. Did you know that? Now, in our world, you'd probably know this. If Facebook says it, it must be true, right? Anybody heard of fake news, right? It's news. It's got to be true. Actually, it's fake. And we are accustomed. We've been trained almost to not believe anyone, right? Because I'll believe that if... I'll make that assumption, or maybe if my friends believe it, then maybe. There is such a thing, according to the Bible, there is such a thing about the message of truth. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. I want you to think about it. Have you heard the message of truth? The message of truth is synonymous, the same thing as, is equal to, the gospel of your salvation. The message of truth is the gospel. The gospel is a message of truth. Have you heard it? Yeah, is that about Jesus? Yes, here's the short version. Christ died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. Are you ready? Yes. Here's another version. There's a scripture that says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. That means everything wrong that I've ever done. The chastisement, that means the discipline, that brought me peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. All we, like sheep, had gone astray. We naturally go astray. We naturally go our own way. But God had laid upon his son, the Christ, Jesus, the iniquity, the sin. He's put all of the sin on him. The iniquity of us all. That's the gospel. The gospel is that I no longer have to carry my own mess, but Jesus carried it for me. And he carried it on the cross. And when he got up to Calvary, he stretched out his arms on that same cross. And he was nailed to the cross. He bled real blood. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when he, in his dying breath, he said from the cross, it is finished. What is finished? This is the gospel. I'm paying the price for all of humanity. That's why you and me can be included. Amen? We can be included because he paid. We can be included because the message of truth that you heard and that I heard, the gospel of my salvation, includes me. Now, here's the reality. Not everyone accepts the message of truth. I know that in a crowd like this, not everyone says, yes, I believe that. My prayer is that you do. Why? Because I believe it's the message of truth. Why? I believe that it's better for me to stand before God and say, God, if he asks me, what right do you have to come into my kingdom? It's better for me to say, the only reason I can come into your kingdom is because I'm in Christ, because of what your son did for me. That's the only reason I can come in. And then God says, come on in, because I accept the sacrifice that my son made for you, and you chose to walk in Christ. So come on in. That is better than for me to face God. And God says, why should I let you in? And say, well, I was a pretty good person. I did a few nice things. The only problem is that God knows everything I've ever done, everything I've ever thought, everything I've ever said. He knows it all. He even knows when I do good things for my own selfish motives. He knows that too. And my record is not good enough to the holiness of God. But when I take on the record of the Christ, I am covered in him. In him. And you were also chosen. You were included. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this. When you believe, next verse. When you believe, you were marked in him. We're talking about wedding bands. We're talking about the color of your skin. We talk about sexual orientation. What is it that marks your life and mine? When you believe, you were marked. When you believe, you were marked. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus exists. Well, some people believe that Jesus and God exist, just like they believe that maybe Bigfoot exists. I was at a conference with a lady who was telling the story about she had a group of young people in her house, and she was talking to them about Jesus. And one of the young persons says, but what about vampires? And she said, what about vampires? Because the conversation, for them, Jesus was in the same conversation as believing in vampires. There's probably a lot more vampire shows than there are shows about Jesus. When you believe. So I'm not talking about believing in something. Like, well, I believe. When you believe, you are marked. What does believing look like? I just want to point out to you a couple of verses up, right? Verse 12 says, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ, believing in Christ is the same thing, equal to, synonymous with putting our hope in Christ. I might believe in vampires, but we're in trouble if you put your hope of your life in them. They're bloodsuckers, right? Believing in Christ is that I put my hope in Christ. My hope of what? My hope of what? We hear, I asked the early services, who's got the truth? Because we're talking about the truth. Who's got the truth perfectly? Is it Democrats who have the truth? Or is it Republicans? No, right? Who is it? Independents. Okay, cool, right? Middle of the road folks, right? No, but no political party affiliation or de-affiliation, I don't think that's a word, but we'll go with it. No political party has the truth, but the Bible proclaims that the message of the gospel is the truth. So I might not have to believe Donald Trump and put my hope in him. I don't have to put my hope in Barack Obama. I don't have to put my hope in a local person. My hope has to be in something that is in fact truth, and that truth is the gospel of our salvation. Amen? When you believed, you were marked. Did you get a ring when you became a Christian? No. What is it that marks you? You were marked in him. Who's him? In Christ. We come back to that, right? It's in Christ, folks. If you don't get anything else, it's in Christ. And so I want you to think about, do you believe? Have you put your hope in the Christ? You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It's not a wedding band. It's not a color of our skin. It's not sexual orientation. It's the very Spirit of God that when I open up my heart to God, he deposits his Spirit inside of me, and he starts transforming me, he starts healing me, and he makes me into a different kind of person. And the mark, the show, the telltale sign of a believer is the mark of the Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit is a deposit. Now, people get nervous when we talk about the Spirit. Is this a church that talks about the Holy Spirit? We emphasize the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And according to the scriptures, it is the mark of a believer. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit directs. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit leads us. It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until, if you can go to the next verse there, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. It guarantees, the Holy Spirit in me guarantees my inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. My wife and I just recently bought a house. We bought a house. It's my first time ever buying a house, okay? And for those of you who've gone through this experience, maybe you haven't, it's an interesting thing because normally when you go to a store and you say to the clerk, I want to buy this giant-sized Snickers bar. Did I just say that out loud? I'm sorry. Or no, I want to buy this vegetable, right? Or whatever it is. They say, okay, this is how much you have to pay. It says this is how much you have to pay. You pay them, and they give you a receipt, and then that vegetable, praise the Lord, is yours. And you can take it home and eat it. Just dip it in a little ranch, and it'll help out, okay?
Yeah.
Right? You can take it home and eat it. That's when you buy something, it's yours. With a house, it's not like that. You say, I want to buy your house, and the person says, okay, I want you to buy my house, and you make an agreement. So in that sense, we have bought a house by God's grace and mercy. I never thought I would do that growing up. It just seemed very foreign. But I'm a grown man now, and by God's grace and mercy, he's allowed us to do this. So now we bought a house. But here's the deal. The house has been purchased by us, but I can't go into the house yet. I can't show up to the house and just walk in. There are still people, strangers, living in that house. They're living in my house. Why? Because I purchased the house, but the way that the process works is I don't actually get to go into the house until after something called closing. That's the most I'm going to talk about, you know, house process or anything, okay? Until after that time, then I can go, but I can't go in now. But did you buy the house? Yes, we bought the house. Did they agree? Yes. Can you go into the house? No, not yet. But here's why Amy and I went to Friendly's and got an ice cream and celebrated. Here's why. Because we bought a house. And even though we haven't been able to go into the house yet, we know that it's ours. Hallelujah. And the fact that we know that it's ours, even though we're not in there yet, makes us happy, gives us confidence. We know where we're going to go. For followers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is the mark. He is the deposit of the inheritance that awaits you in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That inheritance is coming. You are not in heaven yet. You're still alive. Amen? Jesus has not come back. But when one of those two things happen, you will be with the Lord if you are in who? In Christ. Not in Buddha, God bless Buddha, not in Muhammad, God bless Muhammad, not in anyone else, according to the scriptures. You say, Pastor, that's exclusive. I'm showing you what the scripture says, not what the iPhone says, but the Bible and the iPhone, amen? The scripture says to those who are in Christ, the mark is the Holy Spirit, and it's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Man, we can't go into the house yet, but I know where I'm going. I know what God has for me. So I'm facing trials. I'm facing difficulties. My late wife has died. I have gone through trials. I have gone through stuff, but there is an inheritance waiting for me. And the Holy Spirit inside is a deposit guaranteeing that. Let me ask you a question. There's an old preacher who said, is the Holy Ghost on you? And that doesn't mean that you act weird. That doesn't mean that you jump around. It may mean that. If God wants you to do that, that's fine. But there's something inside of you that is working. When you believe, you were marked. I have people that tell me, Pastor, I just swear all the time. And now that I believe, I put my faith in Christ. Every time I want to do what I used to, I can't because the Spirit of God is inside of you. You're a different person. Can I just tell you something? The Spirit of God is always going to lead you to better places, not worse places. Listen to the Spirit of God. I was talking to a young person not too long ago who said, man, I went into this website and I got this creepy feeling because I knew that what was on there was not the best. And I told him, listen, that creepy feeling is a warning system from heaven above because the Spirit of God is inside of you and is saying, be careful. You should listen to that. The Spirit of God will lead you. The Spirit of God will nudge you. The Spirit of God will help you. I'm not talking about perfection, you guys. Listen, if you could see, ask my kids, how is Pastor Lewis at home? Is he always like this? Hey, kids, good morning. God bless you. No. Sometimes I'm like, guys, pick that stuff up. Be cool. Don't talk to Daddy. Daddy, are you angry? Are you angry with us? Oh. I'm a real human being just like you and I. But the Spirit of God sometimes nudges me and says, go ask forgiveness of your kids because of the way that you treated them. I say, God, but they're my kids. I'm Papa. I'm the master of the house. God says, okay, master, go and ask for forgiveness. Hey, guys, I'm so sorry. Daddy was not. That was not right. Please forgive me. Yesterday, I had a plumber come to my current home. And they were going to fix some things. He was going to fix something. Unfortunately, God has not given me the handyman gift. I did tell my now wife, Amy, who I met a few years after I lost my first wife. And she's a godly woman, amazing woman. And I'm so thankful for her. But I told her before we got married, honey, I ain't no handyman. So if you want this husband who's going to come in and fix stuff and like, You need something fixed, honey? Let me just make a phone call. Can you help me out, please? I don't know how to fix this. So the plumber comes over, big guy, taller than me, big dude, southern accent, tattoos everywhere. Skull and death tattoos. You know what I'm talking about? Does God love people with tattoos? Absolutely he does. Yes, he does. It's crossed my mind to get a tattoo, but I always remember my granddaddy saying, don't get a tattoo so I don't. But anyway, this guy's in my house. He's fixing the sink to the bathroom, and everything goes good. But he's, you know, he's kind of an intimidating big guy. We walk out, and he's like, oh, let's go take care of the payment or whatever. We're out there, and I just sensed I got a nudge that I needed to talk to this guy about something that actually matters. And I said, God, he's got skull tattoos. He doesn't want to hear about God. He doesn't want to hear about Jesus. He doesn't want to hear. Just talk to him. Do you know that God will always use who you are and what you have? He's not asking you to do something that and become someone you're not. Did you know that? So I say, okay, and I tell you this because I'm the pastor. Sometimes people think, well, pastors, of course, they're always sharing with people. They're always talking about God. No, I still every day have to say, God, give me strength to surrender and get over my judgments, get over my fears, get over my stuff so that I can be an effective person for you. Holy Spirit, guide me. You're the deposit inside of me, guaranteeing my inheritance. Would you lead me? Because the mark of a believer is the Holy Spirit. And so he's in the car, writing stuff out, rough looking dude. And I just start talking to him. I see that he actually has a wedding band on. So I ask him, I'm like, that's the only thing I got. Because I think I usually start with sports. I'm like, oh, do you like sports? No. Okay. All right. Okay. So God, that was not you. Forget it. So I asked him, how long have you been married? He's like, well, this is my second time around. He says, my first wife, and he called her a name that I cannot repeat in a church. He literally had a name for her. I was like, okay, that's cool, man. He said, but this one, I've been with her for 12, we were with her for 12 years, we have kids together, and we've been married for 4. I'm like, oh man, that's cool. And I just share a little bit about you. I'm like, yeah, this, you know, Amy, she's my second wife as well. A little bit different story, but You know, a few years ago, I lost my first wife tragically during childbirth. And he looks at me and says, my wife's got cancer. Mm-hmm. And I'll be lucky if she makes it to Christmas with me. Mm-hmm. And let me just hit pause there for one second, because I could have missed what happened after that. We had a wonderful time of prayer, not a service. I didn't tell him the three steps to become a Christian. I just said, can we pray together? Are you with me? Because this is real life. This is real stuff. In that moment, I felt connected to him because I had to go through what he's going through. Amen? And so we prayed and God did his work and there was a few tears there. We connected and we'll see where God takes it. But can I just say that we could have missed all of that if I either did not have the Holy Spirit in me at all, because I have not believed and put my hope in Christ. I did not allow him to nudge me in that direction. I could have missed all of that. Right. Or some of us who are followers of Jesus who have the Spirit, and the Spirit is saying, just love him. Just be nice to this person. Just forgive. Don't say what you're thinking about saying. Forgive. That sometimes we ignore that and we miss out on what God wants to do. Here was this rough-looking man with skull tattoos all over him, big guy, and his wife is dying, and he is in pain. And I did not know that. But God knew that. When you become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on you. He'll start giving you insights and direction and wisdom. Some people say, I believe in Jesus, but live like the devil. Listen to me. Sometimes I do things that the devil is happy about. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because we're all sinful. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you with me? But it is not possible for me to live every day doing things that exalt darkness, every day that dishonor God, every day that do not take care of my body the way that God would have it, as a holy thing, would not take care of my wife as God would have it, would not take care of my kids. I can't walk that way every day and say, but I believe. Because those who believe have been marked. The mark is a deposit, which is the Holy Spirit of God who leads and guides, and something's got to change. I tell people, listen, even just if you were sleeping with 25 women before you came to Christ, and now you only have a couple of people, that's progress, amen? I would want you to walk away from that immediately, but step by step. God is a God of progress through process. If you're stuck with an addiction, if you're in drugs, if you're in bad situations, progress through process. And the Spirit of God, little by little, will start transforming you. It does not take a day. I tell people, you didn't get in the financial mess that you got in one day. It's going to take you more than one day to get out of it. But with the Spirit of God, He will help you. He will give you the strength. Do you have the mark of a believer? And it's not, I go to church. I love it that you come to church. Listen, in church you get to hear stuff like this, and I pray that you've been challenged and you grow. That's how I grew, by listening to messages, reading the scriptures, and praying. But the mark of a believer is that the Spirit of the living God is inside of me. Something is changing. I need God every day. And so when He nudges me to talk to perfect strangers who I don't want to talk, but they're hurting and they're dying, God says, talk to them, and the miracle happens. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you've called us because you're a grace-filled God, because you're merciful. You've called us to believe, to put our hope in you, Jesus. A famous man in the Bible said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So help us increase our faith. We want to put our trust in you today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 I'm going to invite the ushers to come on up. We are going to collect the offering. Also, in front of you, there is a connection card. If you have been touched by anything that's been said and you want to connect with me, you put down on your connection card your name, your information, a prayer request, Pastor, pray for me, or today I give my life to Jesus, or today I recommit my life. Make sure you write that down in the connection card and then put it in the offering basket. That's your way of connecting with me. Praise God. Praise God. And so the ushers will come around in one moment. We're going to pray for the offering. After today's service, we have potluck. Please make sure you don't leave. It's always awesome. The guys have done a great job, and the gals have preparing the table and chairs for us. Brother Gulat, come on up. Let's pray for the offering. And after the offering, we're going to have a few moments to just pray together for you if you need prayer today. Father, thank you for allowing us to give unto you. I pray that no one here, no one will feel any pressure whatsoever. I pray that all of us that are able to, would give out of generous hearts and joyful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to play a song. The guys are going to come around and collect the offering and your connection card, by the way. If you want to make a commitment, put it down in the connection card. I'm going to ask the prayer team, those of you who are in the prayer team, to come on up and pray with me. And here's what's going to happen. We are going to officially dismiss the service because it's time. Sometimes pastor goes long. Praise God. But here's what we're going to do. If you're here and you know you need Jesus, you know that you're not in Christ. You know that your life is not, the characteristic is not the Spirit of God, and you want to pray. Or you just need prayer for something else, for someone, a healing, anything. We want you to come up for prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to play a song, and as that song is playing, you're going to come up. I'm going to dismiss you before we do that. And those of you who want to just hang out in the presence of God, just stay here. If you want to talk, you want to say hello, we are a talking church, amen? We love saying hello. But if you could, just do me a huge favor and just do it right outside. Make sure you don't leave without saying hi to someone. And again, most of you, please stay for potluck. But we're going to pray now. I'm going to be officially dismissed. And again, those who want to pray, please come up. This team is going to be here. We'll be here for as long as we need to. And I appreciate in advance. Thank you for being mindful of that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We love you. I pray you bless every single one of these folks. We bless the food as well to our bodies. We thank you for potluck and the blessing of that. And we also pray for this time of prayer here. And I pray right now that anyone who has a heart to come up for prayer, that they will not be distracted by anyone or anything, but they will come and be prayed for and receive what you have for them today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. We love you. God bless you. Come back next week. If any part of this message helped you, it could have helped your neighbor, it could have helped a family member or a friend, please make sure you come back and bring them next week. Go ahead and play the music. You guys are dismissed. We love you. God bless you. Come up for prayer, those who would like to pray. In Jesus' name.